Greg for leading us. Revelation chapter number 16. If you would turn there, Revelation chapter number 16. We're now getting ready to go into a section, one of the final sections of the book of the Revelation, and that section is the Great Tribulation Period. In Revelation 16, 17, and 18, God moves upon John to talk about some systems, a one-world political system and a one-world religious system. There's a one-world army that we'll see, and the destruction of these systems and the wrath of God is filled, the Bible says, as we shall see, to be poured out upon this earth in the great tribulation period. As we look in chapter number 16, there is the hint that Jesus is coming back, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's the hint that there's going to be a battle. In chapter number 16, in verse number 16, the scripture says, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And that place in which he gathers these kings and the nations, verse number 14, is called to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. And it's quite an awesome battle. I don't know that my mind can comprehend all that's going to take place there. I want to talk to you tonight from the scripture. I've got just some thoughts on my heart about Babylon, about the system, and why God is going to destroy it. Most people in the world think nothing about Babylon. Most people in the world know nothing about Babylon, and that's why they think nothing about Babylon. Most people in our churches, even today, know very little about Babylon or Babylonianism. It's a system. It's been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, if you'll look over in chapter 17, and we're not going to get into there this week, but I want to whet your appetite a little bit, and I want to draw your attention to this system. We wonder sometimes, what's going on in our world? You know, and why is our world in the condition it's in? Why is our churches in the condition it's in? And why is there a lot of fighting and wars and rumors of wars and political wars and national wars and even church wars, religious wars, really is what they are. Why all that? Well, chapter 17 says God's going to deal with it. And he says in chapter number 17, if you'll look in chapter 17 and verse number 5, it says, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." This is a religious system. As a matter of fact, this religious system is called the mother of harlots. She's called, and three times, I think, at least twice, maybe three times, she's called the harlot. The harlot system. See, as the church, we have been saved as and made chaste virgins unto Christ, one day to bride him. We will wed him at the marriage supper in heaven. We're the virgin. We're the chaste virgin, is what Paul referred to us as. We're the bride of Christ. But there's, just like there's a church, there's a false church. And that's why the scripture says in verse number 5, the mother of harlots. Now, some people have tried to make this one denomination. I'm not ready to do that. I think it's all religion. And there's a lot of religion that is against Christ. They take Jesus out. They take grace out. They take the blood of Jesus out. And they put the works of man in. It's a bloodless religion. It's old. It's been around since the dawn of the history of time. And this system is going to yoke up. We looked at it in chapter 13. There is a beast from the sea and a beast from the earth. It's a political beast. It's a religious beast, and they're going to yoke up together. Listen, when church marries state, and when state marries church, there's always trouble. You mark that down. There's never been a state church in the history of the globe that was worth anything. It's Jesus' church. You listen? That's the church. The church of Jesus Christ. The church that Jesus shed his blood for. That's the church that you and I need to be a part of. And if you're saved, you are a part of that. Amen. But now there's another church. There's another gospel. Paul said there was. Now listen to me. And it's a gospel that denies the true gospel. It's a gospel that denies the grace of God, the blood of Jesus. It's the works of man. It's man saying, we're going to get to God our way, and he's going to like it or else. And God said, well, else. That's right. And so in chapter 17, we'll deal with this. We'll deal with this system. In verse number 1 of chapter 17, the latter part, it says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. And that's what God thinks about that religion. I want you to know what God thinks about it. So I don't know what I think about it. Well, I want to try to think about it, what God thinks about it. I want to love the things that God loves, and I want to hate the things that God hates. Now, I struggle with that sometimes, all right? But as God leadeth me, as we opened up our service tonight, God will help me to know how my attitude ought to be toward the things that he loves and that he hates. And I want my attitude to line up with God's attitude. So he said there's this whore religion. It's this religion that yokes up with the world, which is enmity with God, brethren. James said it's enmity with God. Now in chapter 18, these are some things we're going to get into. This is a political Babylon, all right? The political Babylon, it says, if you'll notice in chapter number 18, verse number 2, and he crieth mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And it says that it's become the habitation of devils and of the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And this is talking about the political system of the Antichrist. It's a system that swallows people up. Notice if you would in verse number 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise evermore. And it's talking about the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones. When you read on, you get down in verse number 18, it says, and they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. This materialistic system, this one world system that sucks people in, that dictates to people, that tells people this is what you're going to do and this is when you're going to do it and this is how you're going to do it. That system is alive today. That system has been alive for some 6,000 years. Sometimes it goes in hiding. Sometimes it's not as visible. You know where this system got started? It got started in the beginning. I want to take you back, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, but I want you just to go back into Genesis chapter number 10. In Genesis 10, when Satan entered the garden, and he caused ruin there to Adam and Eve, he wasn't done. Don't you think Satan was done when Adam and Eve fell? His work was just beginning. And so what he did is he said, I want to have a kingdom. See, God's got a kingdom. I'm glad I'm a part of that kingdom. Amen. And I'm glad that kingdom is not of this earth. Jesus oftentimes said, my kingdom is not of this earth. That's right, brethren. This world is not my home. And if you're saved, it's not your home either. So don't make it that. You'll be miserable. And so he said here in Genesis chapter number 10, we find after the flood, Satan had worked in the hearts of man, and he had brought evil and vice and violence and all manner of wickedness to where God looked and he saw that the the thought and the intents of man's heart was only evil continually. And we know that God destroyed the earth with the flood. After the flood, man began, through the sons of Noah, began to replenish, repopulate the earth through Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You get to chapter number 10 in Genesis, and you'll find a man's name that's very important, because he begins this system, this one world system, this one world political system, and this one world religious system. It's been around, brethren, forever. As I said, sometimes it's not as prominent. Sometimes it goes in hiding, and it's not on the forefront, but it's always present. It's very prominent today. The scripture says in chapter number 10, look if you would in chapter 10, look if you would in verse number 8. Cush, this is a descendant of Ham, whose descendancy was cursed. And I don't have time to get into all this, but you need to read this. See, Japheth is the father of the Gentile race, of a specific type of the Gentile race. And Shem is the father of the Jewish race. And here's Ham. And Ham and his descendants were cursed. And here's a descendant of Ham. And I want you to see this. And some people have tried to take this and make it a race issue. This is not a race issue. If you're sitting here and say, well, that's a race issue, you don't understand the scripture. I need everybody to say amen right there. If you don't know what you're talking about, then say, I'm going to search this out. Amen. That's right. It's not a race issue. This is where God is cursing someone because of their action. And he said, I'm going to curse your seed. And the scripture says that Ham brought forth Cush. And Cush, look if you would, in verse number 8, beget, here's a very important individual. You will not want to forget this man, Nimrod. Nimrod is the founder of Babylonianism. All right? Been around since Nimrod, since the father Noah and his son Ham. He came from the descendancy of Ham, and this has been around. That's how long this stuff's been around. Don't you think this stuff came along with one of our former presidents? You see, that shows ignorance. They may have fed into it. They may have strengthened it. They may have brought it to a greater light and brought what was underground. You say, well, I think the Illuminati, way before this stuff. The deep state, way before this stuff. Listen to me. Listen to me. This stuff. This is what this stuff's about. Nimrod. I want you to notice what the scripture says about it. And if you don't learn anything else tonight, I want you to understand why we are dealing with some of the things we're dealing with. Have new names. Satan's always changing the names of things. That's right. Same old stuff. The Bible says we're not ignorant to his devices. Listen, we found him out. He's been found out, so what's he doing? He's changing the names of things. And Nimrod, in verse number 8, began to be a mighty one in the earth. Verse number 9 says, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of, look at this, his kingdom. Don't want to be a part of that godly seed. I want to be a part of God's kingdom. I want a kingdom. We're going to do this my way. His kingdom. What was his kingdom? Look at it. Verse number 10. And the beginning of his kingdom was, you can. Some people say Babel, some people say Babel. Babel. All right? Here it is. Now you get over to the book of the Revelation, and you see where God says, listen, my wrath is filled up. It's time to bring this to an end. As a matter of fact, we're going to read tonight where God said, it is done. It's over. This has been going on a long time. And it's come to fruition. We're seeing it very prominently today. I want you to look in chapter number 11. We're more familiar with this account of Scripture. Chapter 11, verse number 1. I'll just read down through the first 9 verses. I want to make just a few comments because I got some thoughts I want to get to, and I'll not finish them, and we'll get to them after the mission conference. Verse number 11, or chapter 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That's key. And the scripture says it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, let's stick together. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let's do this our way. Let's don't do this God's way. We're going to do it our way. I've got a plan. We're going to do it this way. Man always has a plan that leaves God out. Man has always had a plan that left God out since the fall. Since the fall. You see, I want to be a part of the plan that puts God in. I don't want to be the part of that plan that leaves God out, and you don't either. Now, by nature, we are children of disobedience. Amen. It is natural. It's just natural. You don't have to do anything to leave God out. You have to work to put God in. You have to be reminded. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. In myself, in my mind, in my desire, in my manly desire, in me, humanly speaking, my nature, I want to leave God out. I want to leave God out. That's that fallen nature in me. It's that fallen nature in you. I need God to remind me. I need God to show me. You need it too. Folks, you know, I don't know why folks want to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, because I need a constant reminder. I need my soul fed. I need to meet with you. You need to meet with me. We need one another. Because we're of a kingdom that's different from the kingdom that we just left to come to. I want you to understand. There is a darkness out there. And it's spreading. And it is sucking people in. And it has deceived many people. And these people came together and they said, we're going to build us a tower. Look, if you would, in verse number 4, whose top may reach into heaven. We're going to get to heaven without God's provision, is what they're saying. When you look up the word Nimrod, it means rebel. You know what the word Babel means, or Babel? It means gate to God. We're going to get to God. We're going to get to the gate of God without God. We'll do it. See, this is the way that man without God leads their life. We don't need God. We can do everything that we need to do without God. That's a sad state to be in, but it's real, brethren. So I don't have time to go to this. You know what happened. The Lord came down in verse number 5 to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And by the way, that's the Antichrist. There's going to be a one world system. It was in this day, and it's coming back. It's really not coming back. It's just gonna make its presence felt. It's been around. This stuff's been going on for years. United Nations, global trade. The Satan and this spirit, this Antichrist spirit, has been working behind the scenes since the dawn of history. And he has moved upon men, and we could call the name of many men, has moved upon men to try to be that dictator, that one world leader. They thought they were it. Hitler, Napoleon. There's people who thought, I'm it. I'm going to do this. History has provided these men who thought, I'm it. I'm going to rule. But one day there's going to be a man that succeeds in that. It wasn't time, and so God intervened. And in some instances, he even used our country to be a part of that intervention. But there's coming a time when there will be no intervention, because the church will be removed and the care of God for his people will go with his church. Listen to me now. And that was in the way will be removed. And then that man will come upon the scene. 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about it in detail. And it's going to be fulfilled. There's going to be a federation of nations, and there'll be a one world governmental system. Brethren, it's shaping up in place. It's shaping up even as we sit here tonight. Churches are coming together, and people think that's great. I think it's great if you believe the Bible. Amen. Hey, this is where you ought to be saying amen. Sure, I pray to God you understand what I'm telling you tonight. I'm not being hateful. I'm being truthful with you. I don't want to yoke up with a church that doesn't believe the Bible. I don't bid them Godspeed. They're doing great harm to men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. That doesn't make me a hate preacher. Oh, I'll be labeled that by them churches and by our government, but that's not what I am. I preach the love of God. I preach the grace of God. Amen. I preach a whosoever will salvation. But see, there's people that don't believe the Bible. There's people who are not of that stripe, and they want us to yoke up with them. Not going to happen with me. I'm not going to their little prayer vigils. Amen. I'm serious. I've been invited to them right here in this county. No, not going to do it. You don't want me to be a part of it. Because I don't go for that stuff, brother. If it's against this book, I'm not going to stand with you. I'll love you. I'll care. I'll tell you the truth. I'll give you the gospel. But I'm not standing beside some liberal, woke preacher and locking arms with him. That's of the world, brethren. That's of the world. That's of the system that started right here. This system right here. It's of the world. And they're going to try to get you in on it. They're going to try to turn you against me and us against one another. Please listen to me. It's happening. There's churches that are deviating. They're deviating. I'm not talking about preferences. We all have different preferences. I'm talking about doctrine. Fundamentals of the faith. The shed blood of Jesus. The inerrancy of Scripture. Salvation by grace plus nothing minus nothing. The sinful nature of man. The need of man for salvation. The sinless life of Jesus Christ. The visible, physical return of Christ. These things are non-negotiable, brethren. They're non-negotiable. And there's a system out there that's going to try to suck you in. So I pray to God now you'd be aware. Keep your antennas up. The Bible says here, look at it. God said he went down. And he said in verse number 6, he said this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Well, Psalm 2 talked about how the people imagine a vain thing. It says God's going to laugh at them. He's going to bring them into derision. Read Psalm 2. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. And so what did God do? Look in verse number 7. So he said, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This is where this got started, all right? This is where this took form. Now, through the history of man, as we go back to the book of the Revelation, through the history of man, in chapters number 17 and 18, God said, okay, done, finished. My wrath's filled up. We're going to take care of this once and for all. And God is going to take care of it, brethren. And I'm not sad about that. I'm sad for the people that get locked into it, sucked into it, deceived into it. I'm sad for them. I try to do my part. I could do better. I hope you're trying to do your part. Amen. We need to be telling people about Jesus. This is very real. The Bible says we need to be telling people to flee from the wrath to come. It's very real. This is not fairy tale. This is not some movie. This is not some Disney presentation. This is reality. And these are things which must be hereafter. It's going to happen, brethren. It's going to happen. And so that system, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to destroy. The political one world government system, Jesus is going to destroy that. The religious one world system, they will marry. We will see in the weeks to come where eventually the governmental one world system will kick aside the religious one world system, because they use her up until as long as they can to get what they want, and then they discard her. Religion being used by the world. Don't you ever listen? And I know this doesn't sound good, but it's just so. Doesn't have to sound good to be good. It's good. Don't you ever believe when the world tells you we want to be your friend. When the world system says, come yoke up with us. We want to join together and accomplish a lot of humanitarian things. There's so much we could do if we just locked arms and joined together. Don't you ever believe that. It is not so. That is not so. Not because I said so, but because this book says so. And this book is always right. Always right. And so we find where Babylon and Babylonianism is going to be dealt with. And we'll get to that in the days to come. I want to just go over a few things with you in the time that I have remaining, all right? Go back to chapter 16. And we have these seven vials. And I'm not going to cover them all tonight. I may mention them, and then we'll come back and look at them in a little detail. My mind cannot even fathom what's going to happen. I'm going to end with a great promise. If you're here tonight and you're saved, I'm going to give you a reason, another reason, to thank God for being saved. Notice, if you would, in chapter 16 and verse number 1, John said, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. In other words, it's like the final drum roll. Anticipation has been building. It's coming to a close. We'll not get to this. And so I just want to show you, if you'll notice, in verse number 17, it says, the seventh angel. So when it gets to the seventh vial, we're not going to get there tonight. So I want to show you what God says here. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, here it is done. All right? There's been a lot of questions. Like, remember way back when the saints, those martyred saints, they said, how long are we going to wait? How long before you execute judgment and you show judgment and there's vengeance upon those that have killed your saints and have martyred your people? God said, I'm going to take care of it. And here he said, I did it. It is done. When you study these vials, you'll notice that each one of the seven of them, and I encourage you last week, I'm going to encourage you again this week, when you read chapter 16, you'll find that each one of the seven vials are specifically enacted towards something. Whether it be toward an element or a group of people, and we'll look at the first three, and that's all we have time for tonight. So in verse number 2, it says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, when you first read that, you say, well, big deal, you know, I mean, it's a sore. Who hasn't had a sore before? But now, no, I want you to notice that God goes to great length to tell us this is not just any sore. Don't know what this sore comes about. I just know that it's directed toward a certain group of people. Notice who it's directed toward. Those that had received the mark of the beast, and those that received the mark of the beast will worship the beast. So those that received the mark, could have been through an injection. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know this. I know they're going to have a sore. And not some of them. All of them. And it's not going to be just a little sore. I want you to notice it's going to stick with them for a great period of time. Notice, if you would, down in verse number 10. Now we're moving to the fifth vial. And I'm not going to read this for the sake of going over to the fifth vial. I want you to know that the sore is still there when you get to this time slot. We're covering a 3.5-year period of time in chapter 16, the last half of the tribulation, which is the great tribulation period. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea, or the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now listen, some of you have been in some excruciating pain. I've had some pain. I probably haven't been through some pain like you have, but I know what it is to be in pain. I've never gnawed my tongue. I want you to notice what the scripture says here. These sores are noisome, they're grievous, they're gnawing, they're biting their tongue. They can't think straight. It is affecting them. Have you ever been in pain for an extended period of time? I mean constant pain for an extended period of time. Sister Mary mentioned that her tooth was hurting. Like she said, I never felt pain like that. Could you imagine being in pain like that 24 hours a day for days, weeks, months? Could you imagine that? There's no relief. There's no relief. I want you to notice what the scripture says. Look at verse number 11. It says, they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains. Look at this now. And their sores. See, they're still there. Those sores. So before you read verse number 2 and just think, okay, so I've had a sore, big deal. I put a little medication. I put a little ointment on it. Some Neosporin, you know, some cortisone cream, and then I'll move on. Now, that's not the kind of sore that we're talking about here. I don't know what kind of sore it is. I just know that when we get to the fifth vial, they're still in excruciating pain. They're gnawing their tongues. They can't think straight. They're cursing God's name. They're blaspheming the God of heaven because of it. All right? And the scripture says, they repented not of their deeds. You know, I heard a man say many years ago, and I want you to listen to this. He said, if men will not be won by grace, they'll never be won. I hope you got that. If men will not be won by grace, they'll never be won. We need to remember that. That's why we need to constantly present grace. You have that first vial. So I want you to get in a picture in your mind of a group of people who's going around day after day after day in constant pain from a sore. It will not heal. They're in constant pain. Look at verse number 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. The first angel poured out his upon the earth. See how specific it's different. This one pours out his upon the sea, and it became as blood, the blood of a dead man, and every living thing died in the sea. That's a big deal. You listening? That's a big deal. Now you're going to have to deal with power outages, and we'll see here in just a moment, you got to deal with food supply. There's a lot you got to deal with here. All right? If you'll read verse number 4, it goes along with it, the third vial. So not only is the sea turned into blood, which is going to really set some things back. Verse number 4 says, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. All right? So now you have all the water sources, the inland water sources, the freshwater, the seawater sources, and they're polluted. The sea life is dead. This is going to greatly affect our electricity, our grid. By this time, I don't know where the world will be in electricity. It could happen now. We're so dependent upon it that we, you know. So now you got a bunch of people who are in darkness, which that will be the, if you'll look down, where is the fifth vial? Look, if you would, in verse number 10, it's full of darkness. So now I want you just to take a mental note of this. So you've got a group of people in darkness. If you look at the fourth vial, I believe that's their scorched with sun. Yes, the fourth vial, the angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and they're scorched. So you've got a people that are in darkness after being scorched by the sun who have this sore that never heals. They're gnawing their tongue with pain. They have no water to drink, all right? There's probably I don't know how much of a food deficiency, a limited supply. Could you imagine living with people in that condition for a few moments, let alone for days and weeks and months? That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. You say, well, why is that going to happen? What's going to happen, because there was a group of people one time who said, we're going to build this city. We're going to build this tower to reach God because we don't need God. We're going to show God who's in charge. We don't need the church. We don't need your Bible preacher. As a matter of fact, quit preaching to us. Don't tell us about that. We're going to do what we want to do. You live, you die, you go back to, you just go back to the dust, and that's over. I had a man tell me, I was witnessing to him some time ago, and I said, I would like to give you a gospel training. He said, I don't want that. And I said, well, okay. I said, I just want to tell you how to get to heaven. He said, I'm not going. I die and I'm over. He was Asian. He said, I'm dying, it's over. And I said, well, no, that's not the truth. And he said, my body. He said, I die, my body's going back to the dust, and it's over. And I said, well, you got half of that right. You're going to die, and your body's going back to the dust, but your soul's going somewhere. And if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Don't believe in hell. And I said, well, you'll still go there. I wasn't being mean. Just telling them the facts. You'll still go there. You don't have to believe in hell to go there. And so I want you to understand that what God is doing here is he is dealing with the people that have shaken their fist in his face and has told him, we don't have nothing to do with you. We want you out. We don't want nothing. We can do this without you. It's a system. And if you'll study these scriptures carefully, you'll find that this system has filled up the wrath of God. And what we need to do is somehow break through the darkness and the ignorance of people that are trapped in this system and shed some light. Amen? Did you tell anybody today about Jesus? Did you pray for anybody today that is without Jesus? You say, well, I didn't see anybody today without Jesus. You know people that are without Jesus. Did you pray for somebody today without Jesus? This is real, brethren. I want you to know this. This is real. Now, I want to close with this promise. Right in the middle of these vile plagues, if you'll notice in verse number 15, it changes to red letter because Jesus says, I want to interject something here. He said, I want you to know that if you're saved, you're not going through this. He said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Right in the middle of that. You've got one plague after the next. Boom, 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 boom. And Jesus said, John, I got to say something. I want you to write this down. I want you to remind the people that belong to me that they're not going to be here. I'm going to remove them. He told us that in chapter 3, remember? Verse number 10. He said, I will remove you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole earth. Now listen to me, brethren. If you're saved, you're not going to be a part of this. And if you haven't recently, I pray that you'd go home and tell Jesus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and for sparing me from all of this and hell too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if you would to stand to your feet. There's a system. Very active. Very active today. You can see it. You can see it. Just have to put your spiritual eyes on. If you'll look, you'll see it. You can read about it. You can hear it in the news. You can hear it coming from people. It's a way of life for many people now. Let's get God out. Let's shut the church up. And I don't mean just nail the doors and windows. I mean shut their mouths. They're trying to shut our mouths. Don't you shut your mouth now. You open your voice wide, your mouth wide, and speak out for Christ. Use some common sense now. Amen. But don't let them shut you up. They're trying. They want to shut you up. The greatest hope of this community is churches like Fellowship Baptist Church.